So here we are, Patrick, with our first Just Us conversation. This is a new idea, another one for, I think we're calling it a season, but we're just literally going to see how we go, whether we keep going, whether we have a break. But this is a format that we have promised to our listeners because they asked for it. And the reason they asked for it is because when I interviewed you for season one, it was actually one of, if not the most popular downloaded podcast of Talk On To Walk On. I'm going to say history because I think we are starting to make a little bit of history with our guests and some of the conversations that we're having. So our guests have you to beat.
I don't think it was planned that way. I think it was episode 12, wasn't it? Which was the one where we were talking. And episode 12 and me being a guest was really, as well as introducing me to some of your listeners, it was really a way to wrap up the 12th episode and season one. And now we're well into season two. Yeah, as you say, we did promise that you and I would appear, just the two of us, at some stage to talk. So here we are. Yep.
And so in terms of what we're going to talk about, we have a lot to talk about, but we are going to try and keep it not as long as with our guests. But do bear with us because this is the first time we've actually done this. And the first thing I think we probably want to talk about is why we do what we do and why we're putting ourselves through learning about editing, learning about pausing, learning more about listening and actually holding meaningful conversations and sharing that with the world, because it is the world, isn't it? And that's what's fascinated me about the power of podcasting, is that our podcast is actually must have hit about 46 countries since we started. And that's just mind-blowing to me, absolutely mind-blowing. I think we're heading towards now, not quite, but 4,000 downloads.
Well on the way to 4,000 downloads. And the interesting thing is, with Talk On To Walk On, the theme is the power of conversation. And it's been interesting with our guests, because we haven't always had to raise the power of conversation as a question or a particular conversation topic. It's almost with many of them, particularly the ones that we're going to talk about today, i.e. the first five episodes that we've done in the last couple of months, conversation and the importance of conversation has just naturally come out. When our guests have been talking about their backgrounds and their careers and things that, big events in their lives, naturally, they've reverted to conversations that they've had with people, inspirational conversations and so on. So it is something that we do feel passionately about, and others feel passionately about it too.
Yeah, and the one thing that I've been really conscious of, whilst I don't listen to lots of podcasts because actually I start to get a bit of imposter syndrome or start comparing, there are obviously some amazing podcasts out there, but the one thing I've really conscious of is that it is a conversation and not an interview. I really do try and do my research. Not all of them are on social media. Not all of them have done podcasts before. Not all of them have that presence. But I really do try and find out as much as I can beforehand, so I can almost go a deeper level, rather than saying, where were you born? What school did you go to? Da, 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 da. I will actually say that, and then ask the deeper question to just get much more out of our guest. And that, I think, I'd like to think that that's a distinction with us. And I know that's been some of the feedback that we've had, that people actually like listening to us because it is a conversation and not an interview. But also that brings its own complications, doesn't it? And challenges when it comes to pausing, listening, knowing when to, ask a question. But I think the feedback in particular from the listeners has been incredibly positive. But also what's been interesting to me is from the guests. They actually, at the end of it, have gone, God, we really enjoyed that. And I think it's because it's quite upbeat. I look for positivity. I listen. I surprise them with what I know about them, because they're obviously mostly very modest. And it's actually a really enjoyable process. And I like to think that that comes out, and that's why we're getting the downloads, and that's why, we're slowly, slowly building our audience.
But clearly to have a conversation with somebody, if it's going to go beyond small talk, you've got to have that, you've got to do the research.
Yeah, no, obviously research is really important to me. It's the lawyer in me coming out. It's somebody who loves to prepare. But obviously, I think some of the great connections that have been made during the podcast conversations is the fact that I know a lot of the guests. I've been very picky about who I've invited on, but, and that's obviously going to change as we grow. I'll always be choosy who I invite, but my starting point with this, you know, with Talk On To Walk On has been to choose people that I know, like, and admire and trust to have a good conversation and bring real value to the listeners.
And I think one thing that the listeners would be interested to know is that obviously what they hear in terms of a final podcast is an edited version of what was recorded. And the funny thing is, of course, is because we have such great conversations.
Yeah.
And like you say, you know quite a few of them. You've done your research. We've had great conversations. Those conversations have gone on for a long time. And we've been in editing. We're not editing out errors or things that have gone wrong. It's us having to make those really difficult decisions to say, okay, how are we going to get this from a 2-hour conversation something that is manageable? And I think we've done pretty well, but maybe we should have some outtakes or some of all the things that have been said that
You know, you're giving yourself more work there, Patrick. It's the last thing we need.
True.
Okay, so, and on that point, I think we do need to make the point that the aim is to grow the brand and the podcast. At the moment, it is just me and you, and that's been a definite choice. We did have quite a bit of support in the first season because we were learning, but we've taken that learning, and whilst we're massively appreciative of that support, we just knew with this season, we just wanted to learn the visual editing ourselves. We'd already mastered the audio editing in the first season, but this season we've taken ourselves onto YouTube, which is another bit of a scary step. And okay, we're not smashing the figures in terms of downloads and views or whatever, but for us, we're trying to practice what we preach, and it's all about brick by brick. Take your time, let's be consistent and literally see where it goes. But all of that means that we dedicate an awful lot of time, don't we, to each and every podcast. And what would be lovely is if we did get a sponsor or somebody we could work collaboratively with to build the brand and build, you know, the opportunity to get these messages out to more people. You know, and if we did get a sponsor, we would use some of that money to take people on, maybe somebody to help us with our social media, because literally we're going cross-eyed between Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, personal accounts, Talk On To Walk On accounts, Twitter. You know, I'm just really literally going, what? Where else? Where have I forgotten? What have I, you know, and that engagement. And it will always be us, won't it?
That's interesting that since we started the podcast, certain social media platforms have evolved.
Yeah.
And as you know, we've talked about this before, that we've, on season two, we've moved on to YouTube because we saw that many more podcasts were offering something in video as well as audio. We've had people coming to say, and there's some evidence of it, oh, you should be putting your podcast on TikTok, or at least marketing it on TikTok, which we haven't started yet, and we may well be starting sometime. And then, of course, we've now got Threads, which has come out as the as a competitor to Twitter. So should we be putting on our marketing material and our clips and our trailers and so on Threads? So it is, as you say, it's a never-ending, it's a lot of work, and it's a never-ending process of... across channels. And that's coming back to, you know, talking about sponsors. That's the thing that is attractive to sponsors, is that, yeah, here we are with a podcast series which is approaching 4,000 downloads, and we're putting out across many, many channels, and that is attractive to sponsors. So we'll get there.
Yeah, but we have to find the right one as well. You know, that's authentic. The word authentic, it's a bit naff, but that's actually something and somebody that means something to us as well and our listeners. But if anybody wants to chuck a little bit of money our way in terms of supporting what we think is a great brand with a powerful message and purpose, you know, it's something we want to grow. This isn't for us to benefit personally and financially. This is something that we want to definitely use to take on some people and help us build the brand and get that message out there about the power of conversation and positive self-talk.
So what's the call to action? I guess it's to DM you on Instagram or to go onto our website, walkontowalkon.com.
Email, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. I'll find me somehow LinkedIn. I am going a bit cross-eyed with it all. And just but on that note, yeah, just drop us a note. Let's talk and literally let's see where it goes. That's what we always say. But yeah, it is a bit head bashing. But from a personal point of view, the one thing that I've learned to do, and I've as people who do know me quite well, I've done a lot of self-work these last couple of years. And the key with Talk On to Walk On, it's slow and steady, while and try not to be overwhelmed. And I know, Patrick, you're probably going to give a wry smile there, but, you know, I am really learning to just take it step by step. And literally, we believe in this a lot, don't we? We believe in it so much. That comes first before being perfect, getting a million downloads, comparing ourselves to other podcasters and other messages. We are just closing our ears and closing our eyes to that. Well, not completely closing my eyes. Obviously, I'm going to keep a lookout. But, you know, the key is that we get the message out. And as I've always said, and we know this is happening, if we impact at least one person per episode or with a post or anything, then our job is done. But we want to keep replicating that because we know that this is working.
Absolutely. And thinking back to some of our recent guests, they sort of adopt that sort of attitude in the way they go about their lives in terms of what they're trying to do. I'm thinking particularly of Bernie Hollywood, thinking of John May and the feats that they've accomplished. They've said to the extent that one, two, three, yeah, whatever small number of people positively impacted, then they feel that they've done their job.
So you mentioned the guests there, actually, Patrick, and that's actually a really good point. And actually what we did come on to talk about, we digressed a little about our purpose and our why and our call to action for working collaboratively with sponsors and others and potential guests in the future. But what I wanted actually to talk about was the impact that the guests have had, hopefully on the listeners, but definitely on us as well. And that's our sort of barometer, isn't it? When we come off a podcast having spoken to the guests, we it's like we go, oh my God, there's so many lessons in there, so many lessons, when actually just one powerful lesson can have the biggest impact. But there are so many lessons with each podcast. And that's why we do urge, if you haven't listened, to do so. They're roughly an hour long. That may sound a lot to some people, but it's an hour out of your day. While you can be driving, you can be cleaning the house, you can be running, you can be doing, you know, walking the dogs, whatever it is, you know, get your headphones in and have a listen. And even if you just, you know, listen to half an hour, you will definitely take something from each guest. Because I know I have. We can't say there's a standout guest because each bring their own lessons. But what we have noticed is a theme. Hasn't there been a theme about mindset, purpose?
Confidence,
yeah. Definitely.
In both themselves, but also talking about, you know, the other thing was young people. You know, again, they've brought that up in terms of the influence that they're having in their lives and in what they do, the impact on young people. Talked about young people's mental health, the confidence, you know, trying to get young people to be, you know, prepared for a life of work and a life of adulthood in a confident way.
Yeah, but what I also picked up on is the fact that when we say the word confident, we're not saying, oh, our guests are all really confident and totally believe in themselves. That actually there's been vulnerability there, hasn't there? And how that comfort, they acknowledge the importance of it and how it's taken us all, it takes us all a while to actually think, do you know what? I do believe in myself. And everybody's got a different story and how they get there.
That's right. The confidence is a journey. I don't think any of our guests have said, oh yes, as a teenager, I was very confident and I hit the ground running. It was something that they built through experience and so on.
And are still building, definitely. And I think that's one of the key messages that, okay, whilst the majority of our guests are more our generation, you know, we have had some younger people on, but we actually took a decision to go majority of our generation because we still think that our generation can influence the younger generation. And whilst there is also a massive argument, the younger generation can influence us, there's a slightly different take on that. And I think that what we want to get out is that life isn't perfect. Confidence is in particular something, it's you're not born with it. It's a skill that we all need to keep working on. And a lot of traits like courage and self-belief all feed into that confident habits, you know, surrounding yourself with the right people, you know, blocking out the noise of negativity, you know, comparing and contrasting, the fear of being judged. All those elements come together, I think, in a way that we all have to work on pretty much every day, but we just have to be aware of it. And it's something that I feel that I didn't learn until much later on in life. And actually, I think that's been a theme with our guests. And that's the message we want to get also out to young people, that it's normal to have these feelings of, you know, imposter syndrome or, you know, fear of judgment and all those things that, you know, lack of self-belief, fear of failure. It's normal to feel that way. But the key is how you respond to it.
And the importance of talking about it as well, you know, when you're a young person and these feelings are going through you and they're perhaps impacting on your life, then it's good to talk about it. Because as soon as you start opening up and having conversations, you'll very quickly, particularly with older people, but also with your peer group, but particularly with older people, they'll be able to reassure you that actually what you're going through and the feelings you're having are quite normal. They're not something that is unique to you. And there's things, as you talked about imposter syndrome, you talked about, you know, fear of failure and so on. Those are themes that run through everybody's lives, and being aware of them and being reminded in a kind and compassionate way that it's actually normal to feel that way is a source of strength for a lot of people.
Yeah. And I'd like to think, and I do believe, that they're the messages we're getting out there. We're certainly, and I'm very conscious of it, not looking to tell anybody what to do at all. We're not looking to lecture. We're not looking to preach. We're not looking to, although, you know, it's tempting to advise because we want, you know, we naturally want to fix things. You know, again, the one big lesson I learned through my coaching certification is to, you know, sit on my advice hands. And listen, open our ears and listen, and to empower the person we're listening to know that they've got the answers within them. But the point of the podcast is if they hear that other people who they deem and look at as successful, whatever that looks like, that they've been there too and they've had those feelings too, and that it is normal, and it's just having that awareness. And I think that's what we're looking to try and get out there, isn't it, to remind people that these feelings are perfectly normal, but there are things that you can do, but you've got to find what works for you. And hopefully some of the stories or all of the stories that we share, some of them will be relatable. Some things won't be relatable. Some things will go in one ear and out the other, but there might just be that one thing that lands, that in that difficult moment when you've got a decision in what the words that you say to yourself or a conversation that you might have with somebody, that, you know, you're reminded of something that Donna said, something that Bernie said, something that our earlier guests of Dave and Emma and, you know, all our wonderful guests, just one thing that, or something I've said or you've said, you know, resonates, and it sits there and it reminds you that it's okay, and that to take that step forward and have that self-belief and be brave and courageous and have that conversation or say something positive to yourself that will help you take that step forward in life and walk on.
And you're absolutely right that we're not setting out to preach or to tell people what they should be doing and so on. And sort of proof in that is that there's no right or wrong to many of the themes and the issues that our guests talk to us about and we have conversations with them, there's no right or wrong answer to the way you tackle that in your life, or the way that that issue has put itself on you. You know, everybody's got a different story and everybody's got different ways of dealing with it. And it is down to people to listen and to listen carefully and then decide, yeah, that's something I can take away. I can, you know, there are parallels there, or it resonates with me. And, you know, when you know, one of the things that regular listeners will know that we do is to ask our guests, and certainly in the last few episodes we have, about midlife. And some of the answers are amazing insofar as that, you know, we'll ask one of our guests the same, you know, the question, and the guest will give an answer. And then we'll ask the same question to another guest who'll give a totally different answer. Mm-hmm. And I was just, in thinking about this episode, I was remembering how different the answers were. But when we were asking some of our guests about midlife, I remember Donna Scully, and I wrote this down because I want to quote her rather than getting her quote wrong. She said, she talked about midlife being liberating. And she said, what makes me good makes me bad, and you have to like me as I am. Now, that takes confidence, doesn't it? Mm. You're basically saying to somebody, I am, you know, what you see is me, that's it. And, and take it or leave it, you know, like me as I am. Claire McColgan, when we were talking to Claire was saying, talking about midlife as a different form of confidence. She was saying that she has the confidence now to turn to others. And when she was younger, she might not have asked somebody for help or turned to somebody for advice. But now she's older, she's got the confidence to do that. And it's a totally different type of confidence. And she gave a story about picking up the phone to her. Was it a BBC producer?
Martin Green, I think it was, yeah. In that moment in the car park about whether to go ahead with these events during, you know, a pandemic. You know, these were test events. This was a moment in history. She's sitting in that car park.
But she knew at that, yeah, she is a very confident woman, but she knew for that particular time that what she would do is pick up the phone and have a conversation with a trusted friend and advisor, which she did. You then got John May, who came to a point in his life and he clearly felt that he could be getting more out of life than he was, and he sold up his business. He basically had the carpe diem, seize the day moment, where he said, right, okay, if I'm going to make it in life, I've just got to be the captain of my destiny and I've got to do what I need to do. And again, that requires confidence. And I think a confidence that would have grown up in him as his years went on.
So just on the confidence point, I'm just reminded about fabulous Ethna Brown, who's a performer and actor and been in the theatre and acting world for many, many years. But she's also doing acting classes. And I loved that. I didn't know that she was doing that before she came on the podcast. And again, I think Ethna's late 60s, but passionate again about young people and the importance of how acting, she's using her acting skills to pass those on to young people. Actually, not necessarily just young people, but, you know, anybody who wants to work on their confidence. And she uses those skills to get people to look people in the eye, hold their shoulders back, sit upright, walk in a room, you know, with your hand out, you know, to offer your as a handshake, you know, a lot of things that a lot of us take for granted now as older and wiser. But when you're young, it doesn't always come to you naturally, or even when you're older, it doesn't come to you naturally if it's something you've not been exposed to. So I think that's really important reminder to, you know, that there are people out there who acknowledge that that doesn't come naturally either, and that there are people out there who can actually help you. And I think John May's doing something similar with his acting school as well. You know, they've both been through those moments where there's been it causes hesitation, doesn't it, again, to walk on in life, to take that go for that interview, to apply for that job, you know, to walk in with confidence. And, you know, you might not have all the skills in the world to completely fulfill that job role, but if you go in confidently and can hold your own in conversation, it can really be life-changing.
The theme of young people that we've talked to guests about has been across quite a few episodes. And one of the things I really admired about Bernie Hollywood, who rode across the Atlantic, is that he's taken his feats of endurance, and what was it, amazing £42 million that he's raised over his lifetime doing these various endurance events. And these a lot of the causes that he has supported are to do with young people's mental health. And I think it's very clever the way he's using endurance events and rowing across the Atlantic. It captures the hearts and minds of young people. They think, wow, this is just an amazing feat. And we had the privilege of going to the launch of his Boat of Hope campaign in Liverpool Cathedral and saw the boat there that he had rowed across the Atlantic. And the whole boat had been painted by young kids. He got young kids to paint effectively a mural that was then sealed around the hull of his boat. And again, what a way to engage with schools and young people, which he then used to spread the word of the importance of opening up of conversations of young people's mental health. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was very, very clever.
Yeah, and obviously the event was full of young people and it was all aimed at young people's mental health. And again, a common theme with the other guests. So again, we've got Donna, who does her mentoring for young people, incredibly passionate about social mobility. And she says it's something that she definitely wishes she had. I think it's the Girls Network she specifically does mentoring for, as well as probably some informal mentoring to probably a lot of her staff, I'm guessing, because she's such a passionate, vocal person about those issues. And then you've got John May, who, yes, he's massively popular with the younger generation through his comedy scenes, and you know, he makes young people laugh, and he knows he's got that platform, which has grown massively since lockdown, but he uses that platform, like Donna, you know, to open up about mental health, open up about having a counsellor, like I open up now about having a counsellor, and how, not just how, you know, you go to your counsellor to talk about your woes, but actually how talking and opening up about how you're feeling and somebody coming back to you and validating those feelings can actually give you the edge in life as well. And that's, you know, again, Donna and John, two very different ways of going at it, mentoring and counselling, but the outcome is the same, isn't it? But it's just what works for you. The outcome is you've shared how you feel. There's somebody listening to you. There's somebody who's saying, it's okay to feel that way. Actually, I felt that way too. And this is, you know, maybe think about doing it this way, doing it that way, giving you some options. It's okay. And I just find that really powerful. And I absolutely love that they both use their incredibly popular platforms to send out that message, which is what we're looking to do. So it's so complimentary. And that's what, you know, all our guests very much compliment, this power of conversation, positive self-talk message. And then with Claire, with culture, you know, her passion is community and getting out, using culture and the arts to give people confidence, you know, whether they're watching an event and taking it all in. And then the impact of that is to talk to each other on the streets, to talk to our families, to engage in that wow factor and share those memories, through to the work that they do in the schools. You know, a great example was how the schools got involved in Eurovision. The young people learned to sign. I think it was the Ukrainian national anthem, I think it might have been. You know, examples like that. Again, confidence building, how children were such a huge part of Eurovision. And I think at one point she said, if they can see it, they know they can be it. I loved that.
And the other thing that Claire talks about, and she got quite emotional, I think, when she was talking about this, is during the pandemic, where in terms of her role, you know, Claire's, one of Claire's roles was to get involved in some of these test events for Liverpool. And they decided to open up in the middle of lockdown, middle of pandemic, obviously working very, very closely with local and national government, open up Sefton Park to young people and to have a festival. And the way she described that, she got quite emotional. And I think it was a realization that it was the impact on young people's mental health that lockdown was having. Mm. And here was a chance, it was a fleeting chance, but the first time they were let out into the park, she said they have a party and they were doing all the things that young people do at festivals.
Yeah.
And people have to listen to the whole podcast to pick that up. But so whether it's Europe for Claire McColgan, whether it was Eurovision or whether it was the Sefton Park test event, again, young people and the positive impact that those had.
Yeah. And that's what I love, because I think when I first started the podcast, you know, I was like, think about your target audience, you know, have your target audience and hone in on them. And naturally, we know realistically that a lot of young people aren't going to listen to me and you instinctively. They're not going to see our faces and go, oh, I'm going to listen to those two old codgers and see what they've got to say. But what I had a moment where I thought, well, actually, if I get a few young people on, they're definitely going to be scattergun through. But if we talk and we make an influence on our generation, then hopefully our generation can take those messages and pass them down to the younger generation, you know. If our generation are learning to open up, which again wasn't something that was talked about when we were younger, learn to open up, learn to say how we feel, whether it get involved in mentoring, finding a counsellor, talking to each other in a much more meaningful way, listening to each other much more carefully and looking for the signs of when somebody needs some support and guidance, also knowing when to back off as well and give people some space. You know, all these lessons that we hope are coming through in our conversations with our guests, if that can make a difference to our generation, then they can then pass that on to their kids, their nieces, their nephews, you know, anyone that they have, any younger person that they have some influence over. And I think it's the ripple effect. I know I've talked about the ripple effect a lot, and that's what was that moment where I thought, no, we can make a difference, even if young people aren't necessarily clicking on and listening to the podcast. But what's actually interesting is quite a lot of them are actually. Mm-hmm. You know, we've had conversations, haven't we, you know, where younger people have come up and gone, I listened to da 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 da, and God, that was brilliant. Obviously John May was popular amongst the younger generation, but actually Gabby Mendez was on season one, you know, Emma was on season one, you know, young actors, young people who are, you know, entrepreneurs like Gabby, you know, they're actually listening. Mm-hmm. And actually I think they're pleasantly surprised. Mm-hmm. And I think they like the fact that we're acting more vulnerable than they probably expect. We're not lecturing and telling people what to do. We're actually saying, God, we wish we'd had that advice when we were younger.
And it's those messages. It is all about reinforcing, isn't it?
Yeah.
The more the people hear messages, whether they're coming from us, whether they're coming from our guests, and they're reinforcing key or let's say important messages for both young, I was going to say young and old, but young, midlife and old, need to
older.
Be listened to. Older. Then it can only be good. Okay.
So let's wrap up now, Patrick, because as always, we can probably whisper on all day. And we've got a party to go to. And yay. So in conclusion then, I think what we're trying to get across in this Just Us podcast, this first one, is how passionate we are about Talk On to Walk On. People have commented, what are you doing it for? You know, why? And our why really is to be offering something to people that we wish we'd had, you know, reminding people that it's okay to feel the way you do on certain days or in certain moments, but to remind you that we've all been there and we're all still going through stuff like that on a daily basis. But the key is to know that you can come out of it. And a key element of coming out of some of this stuff is to open up, to find the right person to talk to. And if that's not possible, to actually reflect and think, okay, I need to interrupt my thoughts now and take a different approach. And again, there's so many tips and tactics that in the future we'll probably definitely continue to reflect more on this. And we'll probably looking to get people on who are far more experienced and have more scientific knowledge, let's say, of how the brain works. But it's something we're definitely fascinated in. But for now, we just want to keep it really simple and say to people, keep talking to each other, and keep listening to each other. Find the right people to talk to. Keep listening to the podcasts. And let's hope that some of these key messages really do resonate to help you walk on in life.
And even though earlier on we were saying we don't like telling people what to do, as Michelle instructs, keep listening to the podcast.
Yeah.
You can watch them as well on YouTube, on the YouTube channel. And if you want to drop us a note and let us know what you think of them, then please do, because we'd like to.
Yeah, we love getting feedback, don't we? And good and bad, you know, we're learning as well. It's all new to us, and we're learning as we go along, step by step. So let's keep talking, and let's see where it leads. Thanks. Bye.